All right. We'll leave a moment of silence. All right. We're going to continue to look into the subject of the concealed kingdom. In the first part of this teaching, we saw that the devil, because of his pride and jealousy, rebelled against God. We also saw that some of the angels made a free will decision to follow him in his mutiny, and they joined themselves to Satan. We learned of his deception with Adam and Eve and how he stole the authority to rule as a king from Adam. And then we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you have a Bible, I'd like to go there again. And in 2 Corinthians 2, we read in verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, what I would like to do is to go into the Word and begin to unravel some of the adversary's devices or his schemes. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, the last word in that verse in the English is the word devices. And devices here comes, it's from the Greek word noeme. And noeme, as it's used in the scriptures, okay, relates itself to the thoughts of an individual with regards to boiling down to three basic meanings. First of all, noeme comes from the word noeo. And the word noeo means to perceive with the mind, or to understand, or to have understanding, to think upon, or heed, or ponder, or consider. Now, noeo comes from the root word nous, okay? So it's, and nous means the mind, or comprising alike the faculties of perception and understanding, and of those of feeling, judgment, determining. Now, back to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, that word devices, or noeme, the word noeme has three basic meanings as it relates to thinking. In Philippians chapter 4, if you'd like to take your Bibles and go there, we're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to look at one of the usages of noeme. And in Philippians 4, verse 7, we read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The word minds through Christ Jesus, in Philippians 4, 7, is our word noeme. And here we see that it relates to the thoughts, or what's in the believer's mind. "It may keep the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 4, scripture familiar to all, we read, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Here again, it's the word minds. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds," or the noeme, "of them that believe not." Here we see that noeme relates to the mind as the capacity for thinking, understanding, or the reasoning power. Satan blinds the minds of people who don't believe. He messes up their thinking. He messes up what they could understand with regards to the scriptures. So we saw that noema is used to describe the thoughts of the mind. We saw it's used to show the understanding or the reasoning power of the mind. And in 2 Corinthians 2, where we began in verse 11, the word devices of let Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, we are not ignorant of his noema. It's used as purposes conceived by thinking. This word devices, a purpose that is conceived by thinking. It's a design. It's a scheme. And in a bad sense, it's a strategy, a plot, a trick, a ploy, or a ruse. That's what the word devices means here. It's talking that we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his schemes. We are not ignorant of his plots, of his tricks, of his strategies. So here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, because of the word noema and what it means, we see that Satan is an intelligent being. He's an intelligent being with the capacity to reason and to plan. Okay? He's not dumb. Satan is a living spirit being that thinks and reasons. Okay? He thinks and he reasons. And he hates God and he hates the things of God. And that's very important because he is not a figure of speech that represents evil as some churches teach. See, these characteristics are attributed to Satan, characteristics of thinking, of planning, of studying, of scheming, of a calculated decision to produce evil in people's lives. These are characteristics that are applied to Satan. Now, some churches teach that Satan is just a figure of speech and it's used in the scriptures to represent evil. In other words, Satan is not a live, living being that calculates and studies and plans and attacks. And that's very, very bad because if you don't understand that you are faced with a personal enemy who will study you, who will plot against you, who will attack you in a personal way, if you dismiss Satan to a figure of speech and you dismiss him to just evil or anything that represents evil, then Satan is free to study you and to attack you all day long, and you have no idea what's going on in your life. Understand? Satan is a personal enemy. He's a personal enemy. We also learned that he schemes against us for the purpose to get an advantage of us. 2 Corinthians 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. He schemes, he plots against us for the purpose of to get an advantage against us. And to get an advantage against us, the word advantage means to be superior or to excel or to surpass us, to have an advantage over or to take advantage of another, to take advantage of another. Here we see one of the purposes of Satan's thoughts. He thinks these things through. He plots these things. Reason being, one of the reasons is that he wants to get an advantage of us. He wants to be superior over us so that he can take advantage of us. Why does Satan feel the need to be superior over us? Well, he has a lot of good reasons, and that's right. Go to Psalm 8. But you see, Satan felt the need to be superior over who? God, right? So again, you see his pride and his jealousy driving him to make these decisions. In Psalm 8, beginning in verse 4, we read, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. We're familiar that the word angels in verse 5 is the word for God in the text. And here we see that God made man a little bit lower than him. And he's crowned man with glory and honor. So next to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the order that God designed, who stands next? Man. That's where man stands. Dominion in the beginning was given to mankind. It wasn't given to Satan. Understand? Of the earth. Dominion of the earth was given to mankind. It was not given to Satan. Mankind can also reproduce himself. Satan cannot. He is infertile. He cannot have babies. He cannot reproduce himself. He can only gather people to his cause. He can only gather angels who defect to his cause, but he cannot create and he cannot reproduce. God can create. God gave man the ability to have children. Satan cannot have children in that sense. I understand seed of the devil and this sort of thing, but it's not because they're born from a birth type union of anything. So we see again that Satan's pride and jealousy drives him to be superior, and he attacks God's children. Now, with the information that we have from 2 Corinthians 2:11, we see that Satan has the ability to think. He has the ability to observe, to calculate us, to analyze us. He has the ability to compute, the ability to evaluate our lives and how he wants to attack us. He will adapt and he will change his methods and motives. This gives Satan the ability, this thinking that he has in his mind, that he's able to function like this. This gives him the ability to be fluid. And in doing so, he can continue to alter and transform his schemes to deceive mankind. He's always changing. He doesn't stay status quo. And I called Brent last night and I was asking him some questions about a computer, because I got to thinking about Satan and how he's always changing, how he's always trying to deceive, how he's always trying to cover up these different things. And, you know, I started talking to him, and a computer hacker came up. And, you know, that there's people out there that just get up in the morning and they spend all day long just trying to find out your personal information on the computer. That's all they do. That's their job. And they just keep trying and trying and trying and trying. And the reason why they do that is they want to take advantage of you. About 3 weeks ago, I was on I was on eBay. That's where I was on. And I wanted to purchase something. And so I went to hit the purchase, and then it says, you know, give your password. And I did that. And then I got an alert that came up and said something, something. And then a day later, I got an email to my account that says, your account has been locked out because someone got your password. And so no further activity is allowed on whatever. So who, here it was. It was a hacker who got a hold of my password. And then what they do is they go and they buy stuff and they sell stuff under my password and they try to get money. And that's, he was just waiting there. And even with all the protection that eBay affords, and I'm sure they're updating things constantly on that site, there was somebody that was able to get in. You know, a hacker is relentless, and they're very unpredictable in their approach. They'll try this. If they don't try that, they'll try this. If they don't try that, the other thing. So, you know, while we were talking, he had mentioned McAfee to me. Now, I have McAfee virus scan, virus program on my computer. So I understand about McAfee because every time I'm on the computer, it seems, McAfee is updating. And I was talking to Brandon, you know, he told me that by the time McAfee updates, we're going to have to buy another hard drive just for our computer because they just update so much, it's going to take up our hard drive. And they are. They're constantly updating. Now, why is that? Why do they have to constantly update? You ever sit there and think about it? Well, you know why. Because there's a bunch of criminals out there, right, trying new and improved methods of hacking, trying new and improved viruses to give you, right? So in order to stay ahead of the curve, McAfee has to be on top. And when McAfee finds these things out, and Norton and all these other virus programs, what do they have to do? They have to communicate with your computer, and they have to give your computer, you got to download or upload, whatever, this information into your computer so that you have the latest virus protection available. And the problem is this, the latest virus protection available at 735 may not be the latest at 740. Why is that? Because somebody's always out to try to get an advantage of you. So what does McAfee and these other virus programs do? They're constantly what? Updating. But what is the enemy constantly doing? What is the hacker constantly doing? He's doing the same thing. So McAfee locks him out. So he just goes home and starts a new career, right? Oh, what's he do? He comes around the back. He looks for an open window. He looks for an open door. He looks for the chimney. You understand? He is relentless in his approach to get your personal information so that he can take advantage of you. That's what he wants to do. Well, see, that's a good analogy of how Satan works. He's fluid. He's continually changing his approach. He's continually changing his ways, his deception, on how he can work with you. He studies you. He calculates in his mind. He watches your habits. He watches the words that come out of your mouth. He watches the TV shows you watch. He knows where you go to hang out. You understand? He knows when you walk down an aisle in the video store and there's soft porn on this side of the store. He knows that you stop and you start like this. And so you know what he does? He's watching. And do you ever watch a football coach? And especially this time of the year, you're going to see a lot of football games. You know what they'll do? They'll film the opponent, or they'll have the game of last week or the week before, and they'll sit in a room with their football team and with their coach and with the defense and with the offense, and they'll sit there and they'll say, see, watch that, and they'll back it up. And they'll watch the guy, how he ran and how he handed it off and how he, you understand? What are they doing? They're studying their opponents. Why are they studying their opponents? So they can give that information to the team so they can beat them, right? That's what they're doing. And that's what the adversary does. You're walking down and you're in Blockbuster and you stop like this, and then all of a sudden you're like this, and he's studying you. And you know what he's saying? He's saying that individual has got a little spark inside of him or her that's drawing him and her to that video. Mark that down. Has a weakness in lust. Put a check after that. And that's what the adversary does. And he further verifies that when you're in a bookstore or when you're flipping through your channels late at night and nobody's up and you stop for more than 2 seconds at a certain channel because of certain things are going on. And he says, mark that down, check it down, check it down. This sort of thing, okay? He studies us. Now, he doesn't necessarily need to do all this himself. He'll send out a band of demons, and the demons are well-trained, and the demons will study. And they'll report back to their leadership, et cetera, and they'll have a whole outline. It's a whole outline. And they'll say, these are the strengths, these are the weaknesses, these are where they frequent, this is what they think about, this is, that's what it is. It's like a war. It's a war. And if you've ever been in the war room in Washington, where they would sit and they would plan these things out, it's amazing what these men of war would do. They have information. And you know what? The ones that have the information and the accurate information and the most current information are the ones that win the war because they're able to plot, right? That's how they got rid of the U-boats. They were able to break that code, right? Sure, the Enigma. That's what happened. They were able finally to get the right information and then they were able to apply it. Well, the adversary's like that. He is that calculated in how he studies you. Now, he knows your past, okay? If a computer hacker can be that diabolical and committed to exert that much time and effort just to steal and defraud your personal material from you, is it not feasible in your mind that a spirit being could do the same? A human needs time to sleep. And he is limited to knowledge, right? Satan, on the other hand, and his demons, they need no sleep. And they have almost unlimited resources and times and time to do this. They don't get tired, you understand? And this is what happens. Satan knows where we've been. He's been there. He stripped us up. He's seen us overcome these weaknesses in our life. Okay? But you know what he'll continue to do? He'll continue to bring those weaknesses up in our life because he knows that at one time he got an advantage of you. You know, when I was younger, I used to wrestle. And I had a friend named Phil. And Phil, he had about 3 moves, and that's all he had. And he kept trying to move. He was very predictable, but he was very good and very successful at what he did. If he was on top in the second period and the guy was on the bottom, I know what he would do. If he was on the bottom in the second period and the guy was on top, every single time the whistle would go off, Philip would use inside leg and he would stand up. That was his move. He didn't sit out. He didn't roll. He didn't do any of these things. He just stand up. And if he couldn't get up, you know what he'd do? He'd go back to his base, is what they would teach us. And you know what he tried to do again? Stand up. Now, a lot of wrestlers would switch off. They try to switch, they do a Gamby roll, they do a lot of different things, but Philip would just stand up, and it worked for him. It might take 45 seconds, but the guy would bring him down, then he'd stand up again, finally he'd do that, he'd get away, and then he'd face his opponent, and he always would use a double leg takedown. He wouldn't go behind, he wouldn't go for a single, he wouldn't try to wrestle, he would always go for a double leg takedown, and he'd stay there, and he'd grab it, and he would continue to work that. That's what he would do. Over and over and over again. In our lives, the devil watches our habits. He knows what we did. He knows what he did to trip us up. Okay? He will continue to re-tempt you in those areas of your life if you allow him to. Okay? And I don't care how long you've been clean or you've been out of that habit. He will try to bring the past up and re-tempt you with that past. Because he already knows that he dominated you for 10 years in that area. For 10 years of your life, he dominated you with hatred. Okay? He tricked you to hate the world, hate a person. And by doing that, he was able to dominate your life. Then you got deliverance. You learned the word of God. You walked out of that hatred and you walked in freedom. But I'm going to tell you what. He's not going to let that stronghold that you have overcome go. What he's going to do is he's going to try to get in there and to rekindle the stronghold of hatred in your life. And if he can get you being bitter again, and he can get you being hateful again and vengeful again, okay? He knows that this thing worked for him. For 10 years, he was able to control your life with hatred. So you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to reintroduce hatred in your life. Now, how is he going to do that? You're a little bit smarter than you were 10 years ago, hopefully. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to not come at you like this. He's going to come and he's going to use a different approach. But the end result is still going to be hatred. I want to warn you against something. And especially as you get into the Word of God and you learn the Word of God and you have a lot of knowledge about the Word of God and you got a lot of Bible stuff running around in your head, what I see people do in a dangerous level in their life is I see them downplay things. Do not downplay the adversary. Do not downplay the words that come out of your mouth. Do not downplay the thoughts that you have in your head. Because the adversary wants you to downplay them. You understand? Job said that he eschewed evil. When anything, you know, would be evil, you should be alert. You should be aware immediately of what comes out of your mouth, of the feelings that you begin to feel, of the thoughts that you begin to have. Okay? And don't do this to the devil and say, oh, it's just a commercial, or oh, it's just a book, or oh, it's just a movie. And then you find yourself watching two movies, and you find yourself watching three movies. Or it's, oh, it's just a drink, or oh, it's just a bar room, or oh, it's just a whatever, whatever, whatever. See? What are you doing? You're downplaying evil. Why are you doing that? Because you know that it's wrong. So you know what the mind does? This is what the mind does. If the mind can take sin, that is sin, and cloak it, and feed it back to itself as, yeah, but it's, you know, whatever, it's more readily assimilated into yourself than it is as sin. You redefine sin is what you do. You downplay it, you change it, you do whatever, and then you bring it back into your life. You don't bring it back into your life as sin, though. You bring it back into your life as ha-ha, or it's just a joke, or it's just whatever. No, it's not. It's evil. It's what it is. It's sin is what it is. And at that point in your life, you're actually working for the devil. See? What you're actually trying to do is take poison and do something to it to convince yourself that it's okay to invite this poison into your life. That's what sin is. Sin is poison. Okay? And so you are convincing yourself to cohabitate with poison. You are convincing yourself to cohabitate with sin. And that doesn't mean you got to be a crazy person and start judging everything and start, you know, no, I'm not talking about that because you'll drive yourself nuts and everybody else around you. But you have to decide for yourself, what does the devil use against you? Because what he uses against me, he doesn't use against you. I'll guarantee it. Okay? He will use whatever. Now, if you got something going on in your life that you've been dealing with and dealing with and dealing with, and it's weeks and weeks and months and months and, you know, God forbid, years, you know what? The devil is bringing that back into your life to agitate you. He's bringing those thoughts back into your life. He's bringing those ideas into your life. He's bringing those people, places, and things back into your life. And he'll do that just to keep you off keel, just to agitate you, just to fluster you. You see, the devil, he'll leave you alone for 3 days. And if he sees your wound starting to heal, you know what he'll do? He'll walk by, he'll pull the Band-Aid off, he'll claw open the wound again, and he'll just leave you alone. And then when it starts to heal again, he'll do the same thing. He'll pull the Band-Aid off, he'll claw open the wound, and then he'll leave you alone until it starts. And it'll be a cycle of defeat, a cycle of temptation. And you'll never quite overcome it. Out of sight, out of mind will work for you. But you know what? 3-4 months down the road, something will pop up and that thought will come to your head. That stronghold will become alive. This is what happens when we don't deal with the root and we only deal with the symptoms. When we deal with the symptoms, we're continually putting Band-Aids on our lives. But we have to deal with the root cause. Once we deal with the root cause and remove the root, then the symptoms will disappear. I've used crabgrass as an example in the past, dandelions as an example in the past. You cut a dandelion down and you come back in 2 days and there's 20 more to replace it. Why is that? Because you didn't get to the root. As a matter of fact, cutting them down sometimes does nothing but aggravate them and make them stronger. And they come back with a vengeance. You see? But praise God that the great equalizer is the Holy Spirit, or we'd be lost in this world. God gives us Christ in us. He gives us the Holy Spirit so he's able to communicate with us. God gives us Christ in us so that we can receive information of how the adversary is endeavoring to work at our lives to trick us, to hurt us, to get advantage of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan blinds the minds of people. The word blind means here in this verse to darken the mind. Literally, it means, listen up, to dull the mental discernment. To dull mental discernment. It's talking about people who are lost, that the gospel is hid to them. So we see that Satan thinks and that he works to dull mental discernment. We saw that he wants to get an advantage of us. So I believe it would be fair to deduce that he works overtime to dull our spiritual discernment also. I don't think anybody can argue with that. He wants to dull our spiritual discernment. He doesn't want us to be sharp spiritually so we know what's going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 reads, For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Someone who's clean, lives a clean life, and the church is presented to Christ. But, verse 3, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, you know, these are all, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. All right. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that our minds should be corrupted. How did the serpent deceive Eve? That's what the word beguiled means. How did he deceive Eve? Well, literally, you know what he did? Listen to this. Talk about a salesman. Satan literally talked Eve out of eternal life. That's something. Now, you've met some salesmen, right? And they always want to talk you into or out of something, right? He literally talked Eve out of eternal life. So whatever he did and however he did it in such a way and cloaked it in such a way that he was able to talk her out of her eternal life and Adam's eternal life. What was Paul concerned with in 2 Corinthians? He was concerned with the leading astray of the church's mind. It says, so that your minds should not be corrupted. The word corrupted means to lead astray. He was concerned that the church at Corinth, their minds would be led astray from Christ. The New International reads, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So, if you go back, this is the way I think. That's what the verse says. The verse says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. This is what the serpent did to Eve, and I fear by any means the same thing that he did to her to deceive her, that your minds would be corrupted from simplicity in Christ. So Paul's concern here was that how Satan and what Satan did with Eve, he would turn around and try to do with the Corinthian church, right? Okay. Now, when you buy a 1920 automobile, and then you buy a 2007 automobile, for the most part, most people don't want the 1920 automobile. They want the 2007 automobile, right? Because the 2007's got a radio and a heater and an electric start and all these things, okay? They don't go back. But you see, in war, and people who study wars, if a great general made a brilliant plan back in 1405 and attacks this country and is successful with it, modern generals and modern men of war, they study history. And they sit there and they say, look at what he did. And you want to know something? I bet you if I do the same thing over here, that if we apply this strategy in the 20th century, we can take out this force like this. Whatever Satan did and however Satan did it, it was good enough to talk Eve out of eternal life. And what Paul was concerned with is that Satan would use the same bag of tricks to talk the believers out of their devotion and single-mindedness to Christ. So whatever is in that bag of tricks that Satan used was very effective. Would you agree? And so if it's effective, you know what you do? Well, if you're in college and you're ahead of a corporation, You throw it out and get it replaced with something else, right? But if you have any common sense and you want things to succeed, you keep it, right? And you use it again and again. Why? Because it what? Works. That's exactly right. Because it works. Now, what does that excite you to? I'll tell you what it excites me to. It excites me to be able to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3 particularly, and to study in maybe 6 to 9 short verses the technique that the adversary used to deceive Eve. Because the technique and the principles and the tools that the adversary used to deceive Eve back then, Paul was concerned that he would use those same techniques, those same tools, those same principles. See, there was something inside of Eve that Satan reached out to. Okay? And that would be a wonderful thing to go to Genesis 3, but we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to close here. So go to Isaiah. Isn't that something? Geno's went out of business because they got rid of the Geno giant. Geno's used to be around. Did you ever have a Geno giant? They were excellent. Then you know what happened? Somebody graduated college and got to be the president of the organization. And you know what he said? Oh, we're going to come out with the Hero Burger. And we're going to make it patriotic, put red, white, and blue flag on it, make it a box, and it's going to be the Hero Burger, and it's going to replace the Geno Giant. And the Geno Giant, sandwich for sandwich, was the best sandwich, in my opinion, in the world. So they replaced it with the Hero Burger. Do you realize that when they did that, Geno's went from here to here to here to where you can't find Geno's no more. It literally bankrupted the corporation. And they were all over the place. I don't know if they were just here on the East Coast and around this area or whatever, but they were all over the place. They just didn't, oh, we're making a mistake, let's change. They didn't just do that. They literally bankrupted. They put the entire franchise business, multi-million dollars, out of business. They just crushed it. And I don't know a lot about business in that particular areas, but I'm sure that I could think of many other companies that did that. They said, oh, we got this brilliant idea, and they implement their brilliant idea, and 2 months later or 2 years down the road, the business is no longer in business. And yet, they were a mom-and-pop business running off of common sense, giving a good product for a good price for 50 years prior to that. And they get some hot shot in there that's going to make all these calculations, and then boom. That's what happened to the Geno Giant. And went out of business. What was my point? To be led astray from the simplicity and devotion of Christ, right? Don't let the devil talk you out of that. Something works, stay with it. If it works for you, same thing. You got to stay with it. But also, you got to allow Satan the same privilege. If it works for him, he's going to stay with it. And he's going to try it on you. Isaiah 26:3, I'm going to read to you out of the New American Standard. Because you're all pretty familiar with King James of this. Now, as you find your way there, I'm going to reread you the NIV of Corinthians 11:3, 2 Corinthians. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Paul's concern is that the people's minds, the way they thought, the decisions they make, their belief system would be led astray from Christ. Isaiah 26:3 reads, the steadfast mind, this is New American Standard now, the steadfast mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he, the person in whom the steadfast mind abides, I added that, trust in thee. See, let me read it again. The steadfast mind thou will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. So, what does that tell me? This is what it tells me. When you lose your peace, when things start to go like floppy in your life, when you start to get agitated, when you start to get aggravated, when you start to get over emotional, you understand? When you start to get all these range of feelings and emotions fluttering up in you, you're starting to lose your peace. This scripture shows me that your peace is directly proportional to your steadfast mind to God. So what's happening? The adversary is trying to get your mind off of God. And as a result of your mind pulling away from the Word, pulling away from God, he introduces turbulence into your life. And you no longer have that peace that you were once enjoying 2 minutes ago. Why? Because he's got to get you from looking at God. You understand? He's got to get your mind off of God. Because if your mind is on God and it's steadfast on God, he cannot attack you. He can try, but he needs to get your what? He needs to get your attention. Okay? What did he do to Eve? He needed to get Eve's attention. Now, I taught you before that that temptation didn't happen in 6 verses. It happened over a period of time. But you know what he kept doing to Eve? This is figurative, but it's my figure, so it's okay. It's a Nickism. He's in a tree. He's hanging out, eating an apple. She walks by, and he says, hey. And you know what? She may have did that a dozen times a day. And you know what? He may have said, hey, a dozen times a day. And she may have just kept on walking by. You know when she made her first mistake? That's when she made her first mistake. When he said, hey, and she goes, she doesn't even necessarily have to say anything. Just eye contact is enough sometimes. Then you know what he said? Could have been 100 years before eye contact was made. Could have been 100 years before she said yes or excuse me. Are you talking to me? This sort of thing. But after that 100 years and that first contact was made, you know what he said? I'm making headway. And I'll tell you what, he didn't have one gray hair on his head after 100 years. He looked the same. He's a spirit being. He wasn't tired. He just knew that he was going to wear this individual down. That's what he did. And you want to know something? Did he wear her down? Sure he did. How'd he do that? How's he do that with us? Satan tries to introduce into our minds attitudes, thoughts, and opinions that are contrary to the Word of God. What are the tools that he uses to introduce these into our mind? People that you hang out with, people that you come in contact with, places that you visit, places that you work at, places that you come in contact with. Things, medals, statues, pictures, this sort of stuff. The media. The media is a great one. The media is a great one for putting junk at you, and the media is a great one for withholding stuff from you. Read recently, came across my desk, that over 400 and some thousand faggots and homosexuals and bondage and masochism, they're into bondage and masochism, S&M I think it's called, right, met over in California in the Bay Area, right, and that they just flooded this one town, they had a big party. It says that the police backed off while they were in public masturbating, having oral sex, having orgies, and doing all other kinds of lewd things. And the police let it go on because they just backed off. But the interesting portion of the article said that not one major news station covered the event. And then the article went on to say the reason why they didn't cover the event is because they want that kind of stuff in California, and they didn't want the people to see what it was for what it was, because it would really sour people's opinions about it. So it was best for them to back off and allow them to do all that there and not put it on TV or not put it in the newspapers, because it would give a wrong opinion to the people they were trying to get to come inside for gay marriages, homosexual rights, etc., etc. Now there's an area where the adversary blacked out the media because he didn't want you to see the thing for what it was. Now, does he use the media? Same desk, next page across it, came across where there was a 60-minute ad ran in national TV, and for 58 seconds of the ad, it was the most beautiful ad that you want to see in your life, and the last 2 seconds of the ad was two gay homosexual males getting married. But up until that, it was beautiful. You thought it was, you know, a woman and a guy and this and that, and I mean, and at the very end, they introduced the two males. 58 seconds of bliss, and then at the end, 2 seconds of bam. They hooked you with all this, and then bam, on TV. The adversary uses it. I told my wife, the Bay Area and that sections of California, there's going to be an earthquake, and it's going to fall off into the ocean. And you know what they're going to say? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. That's what they're going to say for the filth and the disgust and the trash that they allow in our country. Okay? Sickening. It's just sickening. I don't have a word. And I'm from Norristown. That's pretty damn bad. I don't have a word to describe it. I'll have to think one up. The media. He introduces attitudes, thoughts, and opinions into our life. Books. You got to be careful of the books that you read. Okay? Some of the books that you read, you got to deal with the knowledge that you learn. Teachers, oh, they're wonderful. Boy, is my son learning a lot about college his first semester. I don't know how, I think 4 times so far, he's come home and told me, the teacher didn't show up. He sat in class one time for 40 minutes and the teacher didn't show up. He said after 15 minutes, everybody got up and left. He just sat there, put his head down, went to sleep. I said, you know why the teacher didn't show up? He said, no, why? I said, they got my money. They make sure they get it ahead of time. That's why he didn't show up. Ideologies. You know, systems of social beliefs. Fashions. Does the adversary use people with fashions? Does he run people by the nose around with fashions? The Devil Wears Prada, is that the name of the movie? Good movie, you ought to watch it. So true. Takes a sweet little innocent girl and turns her into a vicious bimbo. Got a nice ending though. She finally comes to her senses, turns around, says, bag all this trash. Fashions. Words. Wealth. Has the adversary used wealth to destroy people? Oh my goodness. No longer wealth, it's their God. Drugs, alcohol, put them together. Does the adversary use drug and alcohol to destroy and to tempt people? Sure he does. Talk to somebody about it. What do they want to do? They want to downplay it. Oh, it's not what it's. It's not sin. It's not evil. It's sex. Is he using sex to destroy people? How about people's heritage? I'm Italian. I'm Polish. I'm black. You know, God's colorblind. He's also non-nationality. He's not Native Indian or whatever. God is like whatever, right? We're called brothers and sisters. We're not called. Now, Cornelius was from the Italian band. I can say that because that's in. The... I didn't make that up. Now, if you don't like, it didn't say he was from the Polish band or the Irish band. It said he was from the Italian band. I don't know if there's any other nationalities mentioned in the Bible. Yes, there are. But the point is, God doesn't look at that junk. Neither should we. Okay? These are some of the things that he uses to attack us, to introduce into our minds different attitudes, thoughts, and opinions that are contrary to his word. And as we continue to, you know, unravel some of this junk, it is my prayer that perhaps you can unravel some of this junk in your life that you've fallen into, recognize the attack, and live a better and healthier life, because all this stuff sucks life out of you. You are never the better for anything Satan does. That was one of the things that he propounded upon Eve, that after doing this, you're going to be much better for it. Now, is he going to say anything less to us? No. The truth of the matter is, after doing that, was she much better for it? Yeah, and you know what else happened too? Not only was she much worse, not only was Adam much worse, but we're still suffering today, and the earth is cursed because of it. So do you think that your life stops with you? No. You know, a lot of times we pass stuff right down to our kids and generations to follow because of our stupidity. But it works both ways. It works both ways. We can bless them too. So it's more than you sometimes, especially if you're a parent and you have the responsibility of little ones coming up. So you have to stand in the gap. You have to be right with God. Okay? So we'll pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for continuing to teach us. Thanks for exposing the adversary and how he works. Not that we want to know about him for a morbid sense of spiritual fascination, Father, but that we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he should gain an advantage of us. And that's how we approach him with that type of attitude, Father. Thank you for revealing it to us. And thank you, Father, for revealing it to the individuals here and the individuals that we hear this teaching to work in their lives and expose the enemy in their life, Father, so that he can make a decision to deal with them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.